We start over on campus, where students are still camping out on Polk Place to protest the war in Gaza and to urge UNC to stop doing business with companies that have ties to Israel's military efforts. Been similar protests at campuses across the country, many leading to arrests. UNC officials have specifically asked protesters not to put tents up. Protesters initially took the tents down, but they went back up late Sunday afternoon. On the group who has organized the protest, Students for Justice in Palestine, have taken to social media with concerns of police sweeping the encampment sometime this afternoon. Our own Brighton McConnell was over on campus earlier and noted no police presence near the protest, and things appear to be progressing as normal. If anything changes, we will keep you updated. Keeping it on campus, the expansion of the Kenan Flagler Business School reached a key benchmark on Friday. UNC leaders and students gathered for a topping off ceremony. It's when the final steel beam was put into place for the future Stephen D. Bell Hall. Once it's finished in 2025, the building will allow the business school to admit up to 50% more students. It will have 16 new classrooms. And with major expansion, of course, comes major investment, something UNC Interim Chancellor Lee Roberts pointed to on Friday. He credited the private donors who racked up a new record for gifts to benefit one specific building, $90 million. Roberts said that all has allowed the project to move along efficiently and provides a good example of how public-private partnerships can create something for everyone's benefit. Here are some of his comments on that from Friday's ceremony.
Public-private partnerships play a vital role in increasing the capabilities and the impact of our university across the board. They increase access to resources, funding, expertise, and technology, allowing us to improve infrastructure, research, innovation, and educational opportunities. By working together, public universities and private companies can address challenges more effectively. We're grateful for this opportunity for collaboration and the ways it will continue to benefit our university. It will enable Kenan Flagler to meet the rapidly changing needs and growing needs of business education in an ever-evolving world. This is what it means to be a public university: serving the community and preparing leaders for the solutions of tomorrow. And now we have the long-needed space to train and teach even more students and spur economic growth in our state.
UNC Interim Chancellor Lee Roberts speaking there. More coverage, including photos of Friday's topping off ceremony at the new Bell Hall of the UNC Kenan Flagler Business School, can be found on chapelboro.com. In other news, for the first time since 2019, the Habitat for Humanity chapters in the Triangle held a CEO build on Friday, bringing many prominent leaders of major companies in the Research Triangle together to work on houses for low-income community members. Not only was the return of the build noteworthy, but the setting was too. They worked to continue construction at the Weaver's Grove neighborhood in Chapel Hill, being overseen by Orange County's Habitat for Humanity. Project is a big undertaking for the local Habitat as it looks to create a mixed-income community with a diversity of affordable and market-rate housing options and amenities for people beyond just Habitat homeowners. Orange Habitat President and CEO Jennifer Player was there on Friday to show the other business leaders the vision of Weaver's Grove and to help with the build. She said it felt fitting for the CEO build to come back and for this to be the project they're helping with, because of how critical affordable housing has become to employers.
I know that the local Chamber of Commerce has done studies on what are the biggest pain points that our businesses are facing, and affordable housing is one of the biggest challenges that our businesses are facing. And so I think, you know, differently than CEO Build 10 years ago, now the CEOs and executives of these companies are really feeling that they're having a hard time retaining employees, hiring employees, because they can't afford to live where they work. And so it's easier for an employee to maybe live in Alamance County or live outside, you know, an hour away. And that, of course, when we have people, you know, commuting into the community, then that's a climate change issue with so many cars on the road. So I think the executives are really feeling it maybe more personally than in the past. And so not that that's a good thing, but I think what had been kind of an invisible problem really is more visible now to so many people.
Jennifer Player speaking there. Orange Habitat expects Weaver Grove low income and market rate houses to begin being offered to buyers in the fall, with the entire neighborhood off Weaver Dairy Road projected to be finished in 2028. Still in Chapel Hill now, the town continues to search for ways to fund and incentivize the building of affordable housing. In Chapel Hill, Mayor Jess Anderson recently spoke with us about some funds approved for community partners to work toward building more of that affordable housing and why that may be the most effective way for the town to fund affordable housing projects going forward.
We approved $1.6 million in funding for affordable housing from our reserve fund, and it goes to support the work that our community partners like Empowerment, Habitat, Community Home Trust are doing. So all the funds will help create or preserve 77 affordable units. And we also checked in with the staff about LUMO. The staff and our consultants have completed a racial equity analysis, which is going to help inform our new code, which is very important. They also shared some economic analysis around levers for getting affordable housing projects. And so they confirmed that we really can't density bonus affordable housing, that you would have to go so much higher density that you would get into a different type of materials and podium. So that's not going to work. But we can do some things for mission-driven organizations to build affordable housing projects. So we can expedite those some more.
Jess Anderson speaking there. You can find that full conversation on our website, chapelboro.com. Time now for sports, and we will start the sports conversation talking NFL draft, as we did have three Tar Heels selected in the draft, so it ended up being a pretty fun affair. Of course, the start was with Drake May going third overall to the Patriots in the first round. We did get those two other Tar Heels drafted. Linebacker Cedric Gray will be a Tennessee Titan in the round, selected in the fourth round. And wide receiver Tez Walker also went in the fourth round. He went to the Baltimore Ravens. And you can find more coverage, including statements from both of those two, by visiting the sports section of chapelboro.com. Looking to basketball now, we got some roster news. Tar Heel women will get Alyssa Usby back for one more year, using that final COVID year of eligibility. That'll be season number 5 in Chapel Hill. She's already been all ACC 3 times. Also had 16 double-doubles last season alone, and also the program's first ever triple-double. So here's to another season with the skills of Alyssa Usby. Looking forward to that. Tar Heel men also got some roster news. Sophomore forward Cade Tyson, who spent his last two seasons at Belmont, will be transferring to Chapel Hill via the transfer portal. He was all Missouri Valley Conference last year with 15 points a game, so welcome to Chapel Hill, Cade Tyson. Looking to baseball now, Diamond Heels got a series win over the weekend, so we'll take that. They did get the loss yesterday, 4-3. UNC back in action tomorrow right here on 97.9 The Hill, hosting Charlotte. UNC softball had a tough weekend. They were at number 16 Florida State. Ended up getting swept in that series. That was the final ACC series of the season. They do have one more game Wednesday against Winthrop, and then the ACC tournament will begin next week. Tough end of the season for men's lacrosse. They got a dramatic win over second-ranked Duke, 15-12, but they still didn't make it into the ACC tournament, and that does conclude the season. So congratulations on beating second-ranked Duke. Tough way to go out on the season with no further competition for men's lacrosse. Looking to the pro ranks now, Carolina Hurricanes did lose to the Islanders on Saturday 3-2, but they are up 3-1 in that first round series. They'll take another shot at closing it out tomorrow night in Raleigh. Durham Bulls had a tough weekend, falling in 4-6 against Scranton Wilkes-Barre. They'll be back on the road this week against the Stripers down in Gwinnett, hoping to get back into the win column.